Our first hymn is number 216, On Christ's Ascension I Now Build. All right, number 216. On Christ's ascension I now build, the hope of mine ascension. This hope alone has ever still all doubt and apprehension. For where the head is, there full well I know his members are to dwell. When Christ shall come and call them. Since he returned to claim his throne, great gifts for men obtaining, my heart shall rest in him alone, no other rest remaining. For where my treasure went before, there all my thoughts shall ever soar, to still their deepest yearning. Oh, grant, dear Lord, this grace to me, recalling thine ascension, that I may ever walk with thee, adorning thy redemption. And then when all my days shall cease, let me depart in joy and peace, in answer to my pleading. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Hallelujah. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah. O clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that like as we do believe thine only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to have ascended into the heavens, so may we also in heart and mind ascend there and with him continually dwell, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The lesson is written in Isaiah chapter 57. The prophet writes, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Here endeth the lesson. Our epistle text is written in Acts chapter 1. St. Luke writes, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Here endeth the epistle. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Hallelujah. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Hallelujah. 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 The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our hymn is number 214, Lo, God to Heaven Ascended. Lo, God to heaven ascendeth throughout its regions vast, with shouts triumphant blendeth the trumpet's thrilling blast. Sing praise to Christ the Lord, sing praise with exultation, King of each heathen nation, the God of hosts adored. With joyous hymn resounding, Christ's glad return to see. Behold the saints surrounding the Lord who set them free. Bright myriads thronging come, the cherub band rejoices, and loud seraphic voices all welcome Jesus home. From cross to throne ascending, we follow Christ on high, and know the pathway wending to mansions in the sky. Our Lord is gone before, yet here he will not leave us, but soon in hand receive us and open wide the door. Place he is preparing, to heaven we two shall rise, with him his glory sharing. Beware our treasure lies. Bestir thyself, my soul, where Christ, just Christ, has entered, there let thy hope be centered. Press onward toward the goal. Let all our thoughts be winging to where thou didst ascend, and let our hearts be singing, we seek thee, Christ our friend. Be God's exalted Son, our life the way to heaven, to whom all power is given, our joy and hope and crown. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we want to take blessed encouragement from the ascension of our Lord to heaven to sit at the right hand of God. Now, in St. Mark's Gospel, Jesus appears to the 11, and the first thing he does is he upbraids them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he was risen from the dead. And this always is to remind us that unbelief and doubt is never something that we should make excuses for. One might be tempted to say, well, you know, you got to hand it to those disciples. I mean, they were really put through the ringer. And how could you blame them for being reluctant to believe that Jesus was risen from the dead? We must at these times remember how many times Jesus foretold his suffering, crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection from the dead, and how he sought to prepare their hearts. And so doubt and unbelief is never a thing that we want to coddle or nurse. It is something always to be repented of so that we may flee for refuge to the infinite mercy of God in Christ. So here, Jesus preaches law to them, upbraiding them for their hardness of heart. And then his resurrected presence among them was the proclamation of the gospel that filled their hearts with joy. Yes, the disciples were sinners, and they were called to confess their sins. But in the presence of the risen Christ, they were confronted with Christ's victory over sin, death, and the devil for them and for all people. And so in the light of his gospel presence, he commissions them and he says to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now notice, I want you to pay attention that the disciples are to go into the world as his apostles, his sent ones, and they are to preach the gospel to all people. Wherever they may go, they are to preach the gospel. And as they do that, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now notice, this is telling us, the first part of verse 16 is telling us what is it that results in salvation, all right? It's not talking about what is required in order to be baptized. It's talking about what is required for salvation. And he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Faith and baptism go together. This is very much like Nicodemus and Jesus when they were talking. And Jesus had said, ye must be born again. And Nicodemus didn't understand that. And Jesus said, unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, right? He's not talking about two disconnected things, water and then Spirit subsequent to that. He's talking about two things that are meant to be understood together, that the Holy Ghost brings new birth to us in the waters of baptism. And so it is here. He that believeth the gospel and is baptized shall be saved. Faith in Christ and holy baptism result in salvation. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So then after further conversation about the signs and wonders that will accompany the apostles in the book of Acts, we read of the account of the ascension. It says, so then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. So visibly, he went up, and the disciples watched him as he did it. This is repeated, and the fact that he ascended in the presence of his disciples and that he was going up and that they were looking steadfastly as he ascended and went up, this is emphasized very strongly in our epistle from the book of Acts. And when he was in heaven, he sat down on the right hand of God, and it says, they went forth and preached everywhere. But catch this now. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. All right. So that's a kind of a summary of the ascension of Christ to heaven. But there are four notes of encouragement that I want to leave with you today about Christ's ascension to heaven. And the first note of encouragement is that he is not gone. Jesus is not gone. It says that he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And then in the very next verse, it says that when the disciples went to preach the word and to baptize, the Lord worked with them, confirming the word with the signs that followed. So Jesus was still truly and really present with his church. He was just not visibly present. He had withdrawn his visible, tangible presence, but he is still really and truly present. In the end of Matthew's gospel, after commissioning them to preach the gospel and to baptize, Jesus says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And Jesus is not being sentimental. He means it. His ascension to heaven does not mean that he is gone. He is still present in his church. He is still present wherever his word and sacraments are in use. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 18, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And he also said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So here we are. We are distanced from one another physically, but our hearts are united together in the word of the gospel, in the word of the Lord. And we are worshiping the triune God together, even though we are physically distant from one another. And we are gathered in the name of Jesus, and he is really and truly present. So we must never think of the ascension as the disappearance of Jesus, that he is no longer here and that he has left us as orphans. No, he is not gone. He is truly and really present with us. The second note of encouragement that we receive from Christ's ascension is found in our epistle text in Acts chapter 1. Just before he ascended, Jesus said to his disciples, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And it was after he said these words that he was taken up and a cloud received him from their sight. What is this note of comfort? It is the promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost and his gifts. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, he says, "When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." He further said, "It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." All right, so the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why is that such a precious gift? Because as it says in the third article in our catechism, "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel." All right, the Holy Ghost is the one who calls us and gathers us and enlightens and sanctifies us. Therefore, the fact that you are a Christian believer, and that despite your ups and downs, you remain a believer in Jesus, is due to the fact that you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. The word of God is inspired by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost teaches us by means of that word. And he comes to us with all of his gifts and testifies to Christ. And so it is a wonderful thing that Jesus has ascended to heaven and has sent the Spirit of God to dwell with us and in us, because it is by the work of the Holy Ghost, through the word and sacraments, that we are brought to the faith, enlightened in the faith, and kept in the faith. But God be praised for the Holy Ghost and his gifts, which come to us from the Father and the ascended Christ. The third note of comfort here is that it says in our text in St. Mark chapter 16, verse 19, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. The right hand of God is not to be considered as a locality that Jesus is now confined to a specific location somewhere in the great above. Where is God? He fills all things. Where is the right hand of God? The right hand of God is wherever God is. The right hand of God is God's power, majesty, and exalted governance over all things. That's what it means when it says that Jesus sits at the right hand of God. It means that he is exalted and he now fills all things, rules all things, and governs all things. Jesus is in a position of kingliness, royal glory, and governance, right? And how is that an encouragement to us? Number one, as we touched upon before, when we said that the Lord was working with the apostles by confirming the word with the signs following, he has not left us to our own resources in order to preach the gospel and to do the work of the church. He has not left us alone to muck our way through life to the best of our ability and hope that we pass the test and make the grade. No, he is present and he is actively at work among us by means of the word and the sacraments. And he is the one who works to enlighten us, to keep us. He is at work to convert the souls of the unbelievers and to sustain the souls of those who do believe. So when it says that Jesus is at the right hand of God, it means that he everywhere is working with the ministry of the word of God and the sacraments, so that the work of the church is the work of the Lord. The second comforting aspect of this is that in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, we are told of Christ who is seated at the right hand of God, that he also intercedes for us. And what does that mean? It means that Jesus, with the Father in heaven, is attending to your needs. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows the things that you need even before you ask him. He knows. And he is ever praying for you and interceding and asking the Father continuously to forgive your sins and to shower you with the blessings of salvation and redemption. That's what it means that Christ is at the right hand interceding for you. He is watching you. He is working his gracious, loving will out in your life. And he is interceding for you and pleading his precious blood on your behalf continuously before the Father in heaven. And the third reason why this is comforting for us, that Jesus is at the right hand of God, is because as king, he is governing all things. And listen now, he rules all things in the interests of his church. In Bible class, we've been talking about Jesus being the chief cornerstone of the Holy Christian Church. Jesus said to Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus now in heaven at the right hand of God, he rules all things, inclusive of all things. He rules them, listen, in the interests of his church. That is, he is disposing and working out human history and all events in it for the benefit of and the blessing of his holy Christian church. You might be tempted to ask, Pastor, where is that in the Bible, that Jesus is ruling all things in the interest of the church? It's very easy. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. The called ones, those who love God, are the members of the Holy Christian Church. Here in Romans 8:28, we are told that all things work together for good to them. That is, Jesus is ruling and disposing all things that happen in the interests and for the benefit of his holy Christian church. This is a doctrine of faith now that is not always obviously apparent. But when we stand before the Lord on the day of judgment and we receive his summons to enter into the joy of the Lord for eternity, one of the joys of eternity will be that we will know, see, understand, and rejoice in how all things did indeed work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. The fourth and final note of encouragement in Christ's ascension is that he ascended to heaven as our forerunner. So that as we see the disciples standing by the Mount of Olives, and Jesus begins to ascend, and they begin to go like this, up, and watch him literally go up until a cloud receives him out of their sight. That physical, visible ascension to heaven was granted to the disciples so that they would know that what Jesus does by ascending to heaven, he does as our forerunner. He goes ahead where he will finally receive us to himself. And in St. John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, St. John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, he says this, John chapter 14. Come on, John. Turn to Luke. All right, John chapter 14. Jesus says to his disciples the night before he was betrayed, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you." Do you hear that? I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a comforting thing to know that Jesus ascended into heaven, not to disappear and to go away and to leave us to our own devices, but Jesus ascended to heaven as our forerunner. And in Christ, we too shall ascend to heaven so that we will inhabit the mansions that abound in the Father's house, and that where Jesus is, there we shall be also. What an eternally comforting joy. And so today, the Holy Ghost wants to encourage us with this blessed good news of Christ's ascension to heaven. He is not gone. He is the giver of the Holy Ghost and his gifts. He is at the right hand, interceding for us, actively working in the ministry of word and sacraments, and ruling all things in the interest of his church. And he has gone as our forerunner to prepare a place for us in the mansions of glory, and he will receive us to himself. God grant it. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Father, who art our strength and our song, and who has prepared for us a well of salvation in Jesus Christ, thy Son, who through the eternal Spirit didst make himself an offering for the sins of the world, we thank thee for thy great mercy. Most heartily we praise thee for the gift and the life of grace and truth that he lived among us. We thank thee for his perfect revelation of thee, for the unfolding of thy glorious purposes and solemn designs. Grant us to believe all that he has taught us, and to do all that he has commanded us. Accept our thanks also for his mighty works and merciful deeds. Help us by these signs to see surely and certainly that in thee we live and move and have our being, and that all things are done in thy power. Most especially, we thank thee for his death and resurrection. By thy Spirit, enable us to receive his sacrifice for our redemption and to trust in him for the gift of eternal life. Grant now, as we celebrate with joy the ascension of our Lord, that even as thou didst raise him to the right hand of thy power and majesty in heavenly places, so may we ever exalt and praise him in adoration and prayer, and find in him the springs of gladness and devotion. Lift the eyes of thy church heavenward to see, beyond mortal sight, him who ever liveth to make intercession for the saints, and grant that thy people hope and confidence in the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Quicken us who are baptized with the Holy Ghost to witness to the saving grace of Jesus, to multitudes at home and abroad, and to preach the gospel to every creature. Establish Christ's kingdom in every nation, and from the four corners of the earth, turn the hearts of men to his faith and obedience, so that every knee may bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Maintain our land in righteousness and peace. Let our rulers ever be men that love and honor thee. Give unto all our schools the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Bless all institutions of mercy and uphold and further all good works. Deliver us from war and from pestilence, and spare us from greed, rebellion, and lawlessness. Give our people a sincere love of piety and peace, and thus guide and prosper us. We pray for thy mercy upon all who are in any way afflicted, for those especially who are afflicted with the coronavirus, and for those who mourn the loss of loved ones because of it. Especially do we entreat thy gracious help for the sick. Give them confidence that whatsoever they ask in accordance with thy will, thou wilt grant. May they pray with all patience and trustfulness. And now, O God, as this same Jesus that was taken into heaven shall come again in like manner as he ascended, let our hearts rise there in gratitude and love, and help us to look for his appearing again to receive us to himself, and to prepare in watchfulness and prayer for his return. In the name of Jesus Christ, which name is above every name, we offer these petitions. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. 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 Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him.